Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign what will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you again. I just thought I'd say also, Gavin said some very nice words about Jess and I just wanted to say we're extremely thankful also for you guys, for our church family. I've been at Southern Cross my entire life, and so as I look out, I also see many fingerprints of people who have played a part in my life, and also the opening arms that welcomed Jess into our church family a few years ago. Here at Southern Cross Presbyterian Church, something I love going along to, is our annual youth camp, known as Safari. And during Safari, we divide all the youth and the leaders into some teams, which compete with each other. And on one night of our youth camp for this year, one night of Safari, each team had to do an interpretive dance for each of the Bible passages which we had been reading. And today's passage was one of those stories. The story of Simeon was one, and the baby Jesus was one of those passages that had an interpretive dance done for it. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 35. And I think it was the greatest performance of the night. They were doing this performance with the background music. It's a song called Freaks by Timmy Trumpet. And if you don't know this song, it is hype. It is like doof music, big heavy bass. And then we saw Mary and Joseph walking up with their baby represented by a sleeping bag. And then we saw a man who must have only been Simeon, but he was cast by James Ritchie. And Josh is going to give us a demonstration of what James Ritchie looked like as he approached the baby Jesus. Yeah. Yes, that's perfect. Give him a round of applause. Come on, Josh. So Simeon grabs the sleeping bag, and as the bass drops, he swings him around his head in excitement, and everyone dances enthusiastically. Everyone was celebrating. You're probably thinking this is madness, but I think all the youth will remember that story forever. It'll be imprinted in their memory. but I think what they did, it actually captured how Simeon was feeling, right? How this baby boy was a cause for celebration. this story shows us the baby Jesus, who at the time is about 40 days old. He's grabbed by a man in excitement, and the man says some amazing things about him. And at Christmas time, that's when we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus. And as we've seen in the last 2 weeks of our Advent series here at Southern Cross, we saw 2 weeks ago that the baby boy Jesus, he's the light of the world, and he's come to free us from the darkness. And the second one is he is our promised king, the King of Kings. And today, I don't know if you noticed, the title is A Sword in the Soul. And I hope you've asked yourself, why? Why are we thinking about a sword in the soul when this boy is the Prince of Peace, the light in the darkness, the King of creation? Why does Simeon look the new mother Mary in the eyes and talk about a sword piercing her soul? Well, the answers are found in our passage. It's found in the words of Simeon as he holds Jesus. And we're going to see that Jesus is the Christ, but he will reveal hearts and he should pierce our soul. Those are our 3 points that we're going to look through. But before we do, please pray with me. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you that you're always with us. Thank you that you talk to us through your word. And I pray that as we see Simeon holding Jesus in his arms, that you might pierce our souls, that you might help us to understand and apply it to our lives. Amen. Now, I've heard some pretty funny things said when a child meets an old person, or an older person, rather. Things like, I remember you when you were this big, or you look just like your father. Or I've had a few said to me, I used to change your nappies. That's very reassuring. Classic old person sayings. I wonder if Simeon, if he ever met Jesus again later in his life, what would he say? I was that stranger who snatched you out of your parents' hands. Do you remember me? Now, I always assume that Simeon was an old man, but the Bible doesn't actually say that. I think I just assume that he was old because God says to him in verse 26, you won't die before you see the Messiah. So I imagine this guy barely hanging on to life, waiting to see the Messiah. But if I've learned anything in my 2 years at Southern Cross doing a ministry apprenticeship, it's to never assume. So let's just focus on what the passage is saying about this character, Simeon. And so check it out again with me. From verse 25, it shows that Simeon is a godly man. He's righteous and devout, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that means that he was waiting for God to save and comfort his people. And God told Simeon, as we just saw, that he would see the promised Messiah before he died, verse 26. Now, Messiah is a strange word, but it is a word that means savior of the world. Throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, God is painting a picture of a broken people in need of saving, just like we saw in Genesis chapter 3, which Des read out earlier. And how a savior would come, the Messiah. That's what the Messiah is, the promised savior. And Simeon is going to see him. And he has the Holy Spirit in him, which is very cool. And then he is led by the Spirit to the baby Jesus. And he grabs this fresh baby in his hands, knowing that he was the promised one. Read along with me from verse 29 again to see how he responds when he finds Jesus. Verse 29 onwards, he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon rejoices and he expresses his contentment in life as he sees this baby boy. "My eyes have seen your salvation," he says. Simeon has seen the Messiah, the Christ. Christ is a title given to Jesus, and it means the same thing as Messiah. Christ isn't Jesus' last name, which I used to think. It means promised Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Savior. And that's funny because Jesus, the name Jesus, is from the name Joshua, which means God is salvation or God saves. So the title Jesus Christ means God saves and promised Savior. I think they're trying to tell us something. God has sent the Savior of the world. And Simeon, he held the Messiah in his hands. What a powerful image and oxymoron, right? It's quite ironic, really. The Savior of the world, God himself, is in the arms of a human as a squishy, helpless baby. A Christmas song which Jess loves says it great. It says, "Who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that we could hold God in our hands?" And Simeon, he did. That's why this baby boy was the cause for celebration for him. Simeon proclaims, he even goes on to proclaim something strange in verse 32, which we read out before. He says this baby boy, he would not only save the Jews, God's promised people, but also he would be a light to the Gentiles, people who aren't Jewish. This baby is going to include all people, make a way for all people from all nations to be saved. He's not just the Savior of Israel, but the entire world. And Mary and Joseph respond to what has just happened to them with amazement. The author doesn't recall them freaking out because some dude just snatched their freshly born baby, but they tell us that they were amazed. Yet what Simeon says next is something I think we should talk about more when we're thinking about Christmas. It shows what the baby Jesus, the Savior of the world, is going to do, what his life is going to look like. Check out verse 34 with me. "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed.'" What Simeon says here is what starts to set the scene for the sword in the soul, which we're going to see in a moment. In fact, we will see that it is not just Mary who will experience a soul-piercing moment. Simeon proclaims that this baby would cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. It would be a sign spoken against. And the key to understanding, I think, what he's talking about here is found in that last part of the sentence in verse 35, the start of verse 35, "so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Hearts would be revealed. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Hearts. He's talking about our insides. Not our outside, our flesh, but our inside, our soul, our heart. In this passage, when we see the words heart and soul, it should make us think about what we are like inside, what we are like at the center. It's talking about the center of our life and being. So what Simeon is saying is that people will be flipped inside out. One great movie I watched recently was that movie, Inside Out. And I watched the second one as well. Not as good, but the first one's pretty good. And it's a movie where the emotions of a young girl, they're seen as these cute little characters as we see what's happening inside the life of a young girl called Riley and what's going on inside her head. Yet Simeon, when he's saying that Jesus is going to flip us inside out, it's not going to look like that. But it will, he is saying that our hearts and souls will be seen. He's saying people's thoughts, desires, emotions, and idols will be seen. Our inside will be flipped out, and it won't be pretty. And it actually explains what Jesus came to save us from, ourselves. Because our hearts are full of sin. It might look similar to what the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and the like. Our flesh desires what our hearts want. We are not good. Human hearts, our inside, our souls need saving. Sometimes we might even look clean on the outside, but our insides are rotten. And Jesus knows what people's hearts are like. Jesus will show the world that they can be saved through him if they accept that they are broken and in need of saving. If they have faith in him, they will be saved. And this is what Simeon is pointing at when he says it will cause the falling and rising of many. The falling of many, as some reject this message and say, I don't need a saviour, despite their hearts showing differently. But many would rise as they see their sin, their broken and ugly heart, and look to Jesus as their saviour and accept the gift which he offers. And this message would tear people apart. You see, Jesus is going to confront people with their hearts as their desires are revealed, because he knows their thoughts and desires. And to come to him means accepting and confessing what our hearts are really like. Many would fall, many would rise. And this promised Savior would cause conflict. People would oppose him. This is sounding familiar because Simeon is prophesying exactly what the future has in store for Jesus, exactly the future which the Bible recounts, where Jesus came to save people, where he turns people inside out. He offers love and forgiveness, yet he is opposed and put to death on a cross. And this leads us to the sword-piercing Mary's soul, Simeon's last words, which are found at the end of verse 35. Check it out again with me. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. I think this is insinuating that the message of Jesus, the coming Messiah, will pierce the souls of everyone, including his mother. And a sword will pierce your own soul too, as well. But it's actually pointing to the kind of death that Jesus would face as he suffered and died on a Roman torture machine, the wooden cross, and how Mary was there and watched the promised Savior dying, her son. Her soul would have been pierced in that moment. The sword is referring to Mary's pain at the crucifixion of her son. But you see, Jesus would rise again. This awful death was the way in which he would save the world. Simeon is pointing to the future where Jesus dies a sacrificial death to pay for human badness, ugliness, and shame, to pay for human sin, so that those who believe in him could have a new heart. But it's quite ironic, really, that Mary and Joseph are taking Jesus to the temple to do what? In Luke chapter 2, it says they're taking Jesus to the temple to redeem him, to present him to God and redeem him through sacrifice. Yet Jesus is actually the sacrifice who redeems us to God. It's ironic that they are taking their baby to God, who God would use to save us and them. The only reason that Christmas is important is because of what Jesus did at Easter. Is that controversial to say? It feels controversial. We wouldn't be here celebrating the birth of Jesus if we didn't know that he saved the world. If Jesus wasn't the Messiah, if he wasn't alive, without Christ, there would be no Christmas. And so Simeon, with baby Jesus, paints a picture of salvation, a picture of people in need of a Savior. It's not a picture of a crazy God sacrificing his son, but a loving God and a loving son who went willingly to save people like you and me, because he loves us so much. Paints a picture where people are rising and falling as their hearts are exposed. A picture of peace through suffering. Does this story pierce your soul? If you were flipped inside out, if your heart and thoughts and soul was on display for everyone to see, would you see your need for a Savior? Because I would, and I do. In my brokenness, I've been given some pretty good Christmas gifts throughout my life. I've been given Lego, sports gear, fishing stuff, bikes, socks and undies. No child ever wants socks and undies, and then they grow up and that's all they want. And these are all great presents, but no present is ever better than Jesus. The fact that he died to save me from my sin and shame, for my lustful, greedy, proud, self-centered, ugly heart. So that if I just believe in him, I get a relationship with the Savior and true life which lasts forever. Nothing compares. One Christmas, I was gifted a toy sword, and this was no ordinary sword. This sword had a button. And when you press that button, it would go, shushing. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good present. Now, I'm the youngest child with two older sisters, so I'm sure you know where this story is going. I grabbed my sword, and I poked my sister in the gluteus maximus, and with a resounding shushing, my sword broke. But you see, the good news about Jesus, the prophecy which Simeon describes, is soul-piercing. It's not like a flimsy plastic sword, even one that goes shushing. Like Mary, we should share in the sorrow as Jesus suffers and dies. A horrendous death he didn't deserve on our behalf. But also we should reflect and think about, is there something in my heart which the gospel, which the good news about Jesus should pierce and run through? What are our hearts like? Well, we've already seen it. Well, what are our hearts like at this time of year, in December, when there's a week and a half till Christmas? What are our hearts like? Are they greedy? Are they selfish? Are they envious? Are they lustful for attention? Are they money-loving? Maybe they are angry and grumpy. As we approach Christmas, is there something in our heart, something in our soul, which Jesus ought run through? We all have desires and idols, and they're constantly changing. And that is all of us, whether you have faith in what Jesus has done or not. We all have things in our hearts which Jesus should pierce as our hearts and soul wrestle with our sinful, selfish desires, as our bad hearts try to run away from Jesus. Believing in Jesus means we have constant soul-piercing moments as the evil desires of our hearts wrestle with trying to follow Jesus as Savior? Has your soul been pierced by the good news of Jesus? I pray that it would be. Because although it sounds painful, as Simeon says, Jesus is salvation. He will cause many to rise, not just Jews, but people like you and me as well, people from all nations. And Jesus is life, and he will give us new hearts. Can I suggest we respond like Simeon? When he approached Jesus, he took him in his arms, or as Richie did, swung him around his head. We need a Savior. And as Simeon lived his life and saw Jesus, he saw that his life was complete. He saw the Savior. As he looked towards his inevitable death, he had hope. Take Jesus in your arms, the baby boy, the gift of Christmas, the light of the world, the King of Kings, the Savior of your soul. Take him in your arms and believe. Hold him close, because our hearts in their brokenness need him. At Christmas, we remember the birth of a baby, but we also remember the reason that he came, the reason that the God of the universe had to come down and save us. And we celebrate knowing Jesus saves us. He can. He already has. We just need to believe and accept the gift which is being held out to us, the gift of a Savior. Please pray with me. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that when you look at us and you see our need for a Savior, you offered up Jesus for us so that we could know you. Thank you that you've done the work for us, so that all we can do is accept this gift with open arms. Help us to respond like Simeon and take Jesus into our arms, into our lives, and cling to him, and to let him run through our soul, to let him pierce our soul each and every day. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.